The thing that is in room 101 is the worst thing in the world.
New Kids on the Block.
Sonia, I don't like Sonia.
Jason Donovan, Beagle, sorry to be predictable. Eric Jameson, The Birdie Song. Kylie Minogue, that guy Terry off the word Ruby Wax. Mr. Bean,
yellow beetle.
Hello and welcome to Room 101, the single best reason after Bobby Davro's Rock with Laughter for not paying your licence fee. Each week, a guest celebrity will attempt to persuade me, Nick Hancock, that their nightmare people, places and pop songs are truly dire enough to earn a place in Room 101, BBC Radio's retirement home for the rank, ropey and reprehensible. I will say yay or nay with my usual combination of judgment, balance and relative disinterest. This week, comic presenter and comic presenter Mark Lamar picks a few choice turkeys. Now, I want to get through the next part of the show without going, so let's have a listen to your first choice, Mark.
Okay. But you want me to say it then?
Yeah.
Let's have a listen to my first choice.
Good one. Then what's it called? Who's it by?
It's Rockabilly Rebel by Matchbox. You don't remember it?
I do actually.
It was a bit of a hit. It's 1979, and it was around that time that I was, in fact, what would be loosely termed a Rockabilly Rebel.
I was going to say you have Rockabilly leanings.
Yeah.
Let's get this down.
And at the time, I leaned all the way and fell into it.
Really?
So I would have been, I suppose, called a Rockabilly Rebel. But all of us Rockabilly Rebels hated Matchbox. They weren't the sort of band we liked at all. Right. And so we'd walk down the street and people would sing Rockabilly Rebel as a laugh, you know, and it's not, because it was someone we really hated anyway. Mm. So it'd wind you up even more. And then they'd come up to you and they'd go, "You're a Rockabilly Rebel," and you'd have to say no. And then they'd beat you up. So
what would they have done if you said yes? Did you ever try that?
They would have beat you up as well, I should imagine.
Yes.
Yeah, so I mean, it was a no-win situation.
Yeah.
But it was a no-win situation with a particularly crap record behind it as well.
I like the line, "My mama don't like it, the way I comb my hair." I mean, I don't understand how the method of combing your hair could be all that objective.
Well, also, look at the pictures of these blokes.
Well, they're very old.
They're about 35. I'm sure their mothers just couldn't care less.
I think you do them a grave injustice. They're in their late 50s, these two men. These are men who could talk knowledgeably about the Suez Crisis. I'm sure about it. Look at that.
One of them might have started the Suez Crisis. And the whole thing about being a rockabilly, what were they rebelling against? Good music? I don't know, but it's just a complete waste of time, that record.
I'm not going to let it in, and I'll tell you why. Just because I see the name Matchbox, and I think Matchbox Motorway. And I had many pleasurable hours of fun when I was a toddler.
That's the most tenuous reason for not having it in, I've ever
heard. Well, then you haven't listened to every show, young man.
I'll hear some more, I'm sure.
No one ever said it was going to be fair. If I say it isn't in, it isn't in, and it isn't in because of Matchbox Motorway, and there's an end of it.
Well, I smoke, and so I use matchboxes, so I agree with you, Nick. It shouldn't be in.
Oh, don't try and get on the right side of me. Now, that's tenuous. Matchbox Motorway is perfectly acceptable.
Of course.
Thank you. Right, now let's hear your... No, you say it.
Oh, what's my next track? I can't remember what it is.
It's just a jump to the left. With your hands on your hips.
I'm straining at the leash to have a go at it myself, but I think it's only fair as you're the guest to have a go. Obviously, it's the time warp from the Rocky Horror Picture Show, or the Rocky Horror Show, in fact. Go on.
Well, when I lived in Swindon, there's a club called Level 3, which I think is probably still there, and they had a sort of alternative night, which just the word alternative we should have in. Mm. But the big alternative record, sadly, was this one, which is obviously a very bad record, but it was just one of those things that I really hate about students, apart from the fact that they're students and I hate everything about them, is that when this record came on, or when it still comes on, obviously, because I'm sure it still happens, they run onto the dance floor. Mm. And it is one of those, I know this record, I must rush on now and prove to everyone I know this and dance around in the same way as it in the film. I've never seen the film. which I'm quite pleased about.
It is quite simply high-ho silver lining for people who like fancy dress. It's the same thing.
You still see people wandering around in London dressed up as the Rocky Horror Show.
And they think, I am wild and wacky and alternative and
you
mad.
Are Git.
And in fact, they're tragic, narrow, prop-needing parodies of themselves, quite honestly. People may, you may say I'm being over the top there.
No, I don't. No, I don't think you've gone far enough.
I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to our public.
Okay, well, they can't answer, can they? So I'm answering for them.
Yeah.
I like to think that everyone that listens to this show would hate the Rocky Horror Show.
I think it's the earliest one ever to get in, but you hit a nerve with me. I hate it. I mean, I go further than hating the Rocky Horror Show. I hate anyone who's ever worn any form of fancy dress.
Apart from us two, I hate anyone that's ever said the words, the Rocky Horror Show.
Right, okay. Hey, you can be in my gang if you like. Open the door. When we open up the door, you'll find that Room 101 is being guarded by a particular generic group this week, so a pattern will emerge. Let's hope it's less obvious than the other patterns that our rather limp producers come up with so far.
And it looks like I'm falling all over again.
Do you know what that was?
No, I don't.
Well, I'll give you this much. It was a song called Head Over Heels in Love. And I'm not going to give you any more than that. You just have to wait and see. And
okay.
We'll let the
is it love songs?
Good, you see. Already, you're working at it. Is it songs with the words Head Over Heels in it? No. It's neither of those, but good effort. You've really got the hold of it. Okay, most hated film, Mark?
Well, I haven't got a particular most hated film because I don't... If I don't like a film, I'll quite happily walk out of the cinema or switch off the telly. But I picked Alain Delon, any film with Alain Delon in it. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't name a single one. I couldn't tell you the plot of any single Alain Delon film.
Let's just refresh our viewers, listeners' memories. Alain Delon, born 1935, his first three films, which I find quite amusing, were Send a Woman When the Devil Fails, Blonde for Danger, and Women Are Weak. So that's Alain Delon's first three films, obviously very... And they're very, very good. Here they've got the French titles of the films, and then in brackets, the English titles, OK? And in 1979, he wrote out a film in French, Aéroport 79. I'm not going to do it in French. And then in brackets, in England, Airport 80. I mean, what sort of a bad linguist and translator are you? Hey, there's a man who hasn't earned his money, quite honestly. Dark-haired, open-faced, boyishly handsome French romantic lead, the successor in that country to Gérard Philippe, but much more successful internationally.
I've only ever seen bits. I only ever watch telly very late at night, and he seems to be on every single time I turn on ITV of some very bad French film.
2 a.m, yeah.
Yeah. But just the fact that I have to sit through endless minutes sometimes of Alain Delon. Not at one stretch, obviously, but now and again, I'll have like a minute of Alain Delon. And we're paying good money, probably very little, but some good money, to watch crap French films. Someone's bothered subtitling these crap French films.
Yeah, but you don't know that we haven't got them on a sort of film exchange deal where we send them the three On the Buses films and they send us all of Alain Delon's films.
So,
quite
Alain
honestly, we might.
You could be right.
We might, unlikely as it seems, have got the better end of the deal. And that's scuffy. So it's something to do with him being French, then?
No, that doesn't come into it at all, sadly.
I'm not going to let it in. I'll tell you why. I accept that you personally may find it upsetting to have a minute of Alain Delon every now and again. But what I think is that it doesn't matter how bad, posy, arty and incomprehensible Alain Delon's films are, they can't be as bad, arty and incomprehensible as the English equivalent. Any English film, you see. And all I say to you, I say two words to you, which will make you appreciate Alain Delon from now on, Prospero's books. Okay? More music now.
They wanted us to go to New York City, but the man at the embassy said, oh, what's the pity? We had all the things you've done in the past, but never mind, son. Carry on, moving the bread.
Sham 69, no entry. Sham 69 presumably denied entry to New York City by two lobbies, the noise abatement lobby and the cultural lobby, I would have thought. But anyway, either way, they didn't get let in, so they decided to write a song about it.
Well, another one that I picked purely for badness's sake, and when I was young, and too young to be a punk, obviously, although I'd quite like to have been, I think. And to me, Sham were the ultimate statement of rebellion. Just seeing someone on Top of the Pops doing If the Kids Are United and thinking...
Yeah, not wearing a tie.
Yeah, it must be great to be in Sham 69. And I think they probably did have that rebellion in their hearts, although they obviously couldn't be taken seriously because they were so embarrassing. And this, I think any Sham 69 record, probably, as any Angelic Upstarts record, could be considered. And yep. Should be let in. But that is just a particularly bad record.
I think that they had such a limited world, Sham 69, that they actually released a concept album about going to the pub.
They did, yeah.
They released a themed
with a lot of chat in between.
Called Hurry Up Harry, was it?
And, well, that was the big single hit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Come on. Hurry up Harry, come on. We're going down the pub. Doom, 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 doom. We're... Repeated the line.
Yeah,
as if no one had called it the first time.
Time, yeah.
We're going down the pub.
Yeah. The Beatles worked, didn't they, towards in 1967 releasing Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, a theme album about travels in psychedelia, the world and everything, and Sham 69 did a concept album about going to the pub. And so, therefore, obviously, they get in.
Do you know what Sham stands for?
Hersham.
Oh, is it? Because yeah. Someone told me it was Skinheads at Margate, 69.
Skinheads... At Margate. It doesn't work, does it, really?
No, but this is what I was told. It should be Skinheads in Margate, maybe. Shim 69 or something.
Yeah, who knows. Anyway, they're in. Open the door and throw them in there.
I may have come last this time, far behind the best. As we're so far for training, there'll be gold upon my desk.
What was that?
Do you know what that is?
No.
This is by, right, a major... sporting personality of this country.
Oh, is it the Eagle Man?
Fly,
Eddie the Eagle Edwards.
Fly, Eddie, Fly is the song by Eddie the Eagle Edwards. The first one was Head Over Heels in Love by someone else. The pattern, we're not quite there.
No,
oh,
so.
Very pleasing, Eddie the Eagle Edwards. A good reason to think, I wish I was something other than British. So, we move quickly on.
Okay.
For more music. There weren't two black deaths, were there? And yet, we twice had to have Spirit in the Sky in the charts. Doctor and the Medic, Spirit in the Sky.
Yeah, there's a bit of a story behind this one. When I started out, before I started doing comedy, I did comedy poetry, which should allow me, in fact, into Room 101.
That's right.
But when I started, it was an incredible success story because my first, not really, but at the time it seemed like it, my first poem was published by Faber and Faber. And at the same time, the Royal Court rang me up and said, do you do appearances? And I said, oh, yeah, I do poetry readings all the time, which I'd never done in my life before. So I did, like, 2 weeks at the Royal Court reading poems in between this youth festival of plays sort of thing. And at the same time, people from comedy clubs were starting to book me and stuff. And I was on telly quite a lot to promote the book that the poem was in. And
how old were you?
I was 18.
Right.
And to me, it was like I'd been on the dole for a year and a half. And I had no idea what I wanted to do. And to me, it was just like, God, I'm going to have my own series next week, feature film next year.
Yeah.
And someone, Ian Drury and Pete Townsend were sub-editors at Faber and Faber at the time. And I'd supported Pete Townsend for 2 nights in a row at Brixton Academy, which was like a gig in front of 6,000 people doing poetry. Mm. And at the time, I didn't realise that as a poet supporting a rock band, you might as well just come on and say, can you throw anything you've got handy at me? But funnily enough, the Pete Townsend gigs went incredibly well. They were nearly all American audiences. A lot of people had flown over to see him. And I think they just assumed that
you've
England...
You've got air tickets thrown at you.
I think they assumed in England you have a poet on. You know, I think they sort of thought I'd come on as a beef eater later on in the show or something like that. But they went incredibly well. But at the same time, Ian Drury's agent also managed Doctor and the Medics. And she said to me, do you want to come support them twice? And if you do well... I'll give you the whole tour. They were just going on tour at the same time as this record came out, so they were just almost number one. And I thought, this is going to be it. So I did these 2 gigs. The first one went on, and everyone had come to see the support band, Plain Jane, not Doctor and the Medics. Plain Jane came off and were pulled off because I had to go on.
Right.
And everyone in the audience had come to see them, so they weren't allowed an encore. I wasn't billed anywhere, but I was on just before the headlining band. Walked onto a hail of cans, and most of them didn't hit me. So I started getting a bit cocky, going, come on then, if you think you're so hard, try and hit me. And immediately I said that, obviously, full can of beer smacked me in the head.
Yeah.
I started throwing cans back at the audience,
yeah.
Professional that I am,
yeah.
And eventually got dragged off by the management, kicking and flailing around. So that was my first gig. And the second gig, got incredibly drunk, just because I thought, this is a bit nerve-wracking, this experience. It went on, could hardly read my poems, certainly didn't remember them, had them in a book, read them out, and it went quite badly, but I thought, well, at least I'm getting near the end, whereas the first one, I hadn't said a word of my poems. Got quite near the end, and I just heard one of the blokes right at the front of the audience going, I've had enough of this. Jumped up on stage, dragged me into the audience, started giving me a good kicking. All the bouncers came round, dragged me out, and that was the end of my showbiz career with rock bands.
That's a good heckle, though, isn't it? To
drag I've had enough of this,
stage.
I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, and yeah. Start kicking you. I very much like the idea of Americans presuming that all rock bands have a poet support.
It was a lovely thing, wasn't it?
The Yardbirds, supported by John Betjeman. Yeah, I like that a lot. Spirit in the Sky. Well, this is a song seemingly released for the sole purpose of irritating people, and why cover it? I try and understand. It was irritating enough when Norman Greenbaum did it, but it's like doing a cover of Matchstalk Men and Matchstalk Cats and Dogs. It's not
and also
a song that cries out for a cover.
After Norman Greenbaum recorded this, didn't he go off to be a goat farmer in Wales? Which
did
I think is right. I think it's probably public castigation probably forced him to do that rather than any sort of poetic judgment.
So it goes in. Let's open the door and throw it in. I know I've made it to Wimbledon Green.
So we've got a sporting theme, haven't we?
Good.
Sports records.
Songs by sports people. Head Over Heels in Love with by Kevin Keegan. Fly Eddie Fly by Eddie the Eagle Edwards. I'm sorry, it's just the name. It's a great name and everything else about it is pathetic. And that was Wimbledon Lawns by Joe Jury. You know, what must happen to these people that their agents go, why don't you release a single? I mean, it worked for... It didn't work for anybody.
I think the reason's probably because record companies will pay them some money at the beginning.
Yeah.
And not, you know, they obviously won't get any royalties because they won't sell any copies, but that's a good enough reason.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll move on. And most hated television programme.
Again, it's a late night thing because, as I said, I only watch the telly late at night and usually at the weekends. And there are some appalling late night TV programmes. My favourite one which I actually really enjoy, which maybe I shouldn't be talking about now, but there's a programme on called Night Shift, which is only on for about, I think it's about 5 or 6 minutes. And it tends to be on twice on Friday nights, very late. And there's a bloke who's the worst presenter I've ever seen. And he just hangs about at night at various places. And my favourite one ever was... he was on a fire engine, and he said, right, night shift, pleased to be here again, we're on a fire engine this week, and we're just on the scene to the fire, so let's get there. So they pulled up outside this house, and some of the firemen tried to run in, but he stood in front of one of them and said, so what do you think the problem is inside? and he said, it's a hearth fire, we think it's a hearth fire.
It wasn't the night of the Windsor Castle fire, was it?
I think it's a hearth fire. And he said, okay, is that dangerous? He said, well, it is a fire, so yeah, it's quite dangerous. And he said, and could you tell our viewers exactly what a hearth fire is? He said, yes, it's a fire in a hearth. And he went, okay, well, good luck. And then later on, came back to the fireman saying, and what was the problem? And he said, well, it was a hearth fire. And he said, and is it out now? And he said, yeah, we think it's out now. And he said, what exactly is a hearth fire? And it is a brilliant part, and this is the reason...
This is his top question.
Exactly, yeah. But anyway, this is the reason I hate Get Stuffed, because Get Stuffed is on where this programme could be on. This programme should be on at all times, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, Get Stuffed, it features students, which is bad enough, and it's a cookery programme, which I haven't got anything against cookery programmes. I do believe if you don't like something, switch it off. But it's on too many times, on about 4 or 5 times a night, and these students who always make vegetarian dishes, and they do it in their own homes... And you're trying to watch something, and if it is something that you're quite interested in, you think, I might like to make that, all you can see is this really scummy student kitchen with fungus growing out of everything, and these horrible red-haired gits cooking up a storm, and you just think, there's nothing about this programme that I can watch.
That's fair. It's sort of bedsitter food then, is it?
Yeah.
Floyd on a grunt.
It's always like, nothing costs more than about 3 pence for a meal for 10 or something that you can freeze. It makes me sick that you should ask students what their opinions on anything, but especially about cooking.
Well, I think that's perfectly fair if it's something you're upset about.
It does upset me. This is probably the most upsetting thing that we've spoke about so far.
So you've got a scheduling problem here. You want Get Stuffed out and Night Shift in more often.
At all times. There should be a Night Shift channel.
Right. All we can do in Room 101 is get rid of Get Stuffed. Really getting Night Shift on, you'll have to find some other Radio 5 programme that will put it on, OK? But we will open the door and throw in Get Stuffed.
Have you seen it?
True love. True.
Right, I will give you £2,000... if you can get who sang that version of True Love in four guesses.
And can I have a clue? Is it a sporting stuff?
Yeah, it's a sport. Here's a clue for you. Think of the saddest, most unlikely sporting star and double it. That's your clue.
Henry Cooper.
Not Henry Cooper, but good effort. You're already in the right world.
Guess Anderson.
Good. You can have another guess during the programme and I'll reveal it to you at the end, all right? Right, now, most hated person?
Rusty Lee.
Rusty Lee. Yeah.
Have you got any personal opinions on Rusty Lee?
The only thing I don't like about Rusty Lee is she's one of those people that laughs at things, and you think, what? What was funny then?
Yeah.
She said, she going, let's put a bit of pepper on. You think, what? What happened? What happened then?
That's exactly it. This is sort of the reason I want Rusty Lee in, because, I mean, don't like her anyway, but I actually had to work with her once. And what we were doing was some island in near Jamaica, but not Jamaica.
Mm.
I can't remember which one it was. It was their national day, and we went to Birmingham Station to sort of give people at the commuters a bit of a flavour of what it would be like there. And Musty Lee had never been to this place, wherever it was, St. Lucia or somewhere, but she'd made these dumplings, and this was her big joke for the day, running up to people and saying,
do you want to have some of my dumplings?
Would you like to taste my dumplings? I've got lovely dumplings. And we counted it, in the 2.5 minutes we were on air, 22 references to dumplings, each followed by a big Musty Lee laugh.
There's no doubt, though, that you know, they're all saying that there's only 7 jokes in the world. Well, 3 of them are about dumplings, and so I think that
her instincts are about Rusty Lee.
Yeah, her instincts.
But 22 of them. Of the 7 jokes, surely 22 of them can't be about dumplings.
No, you're right. You're right. Perhaps we get Roy Castle, because he can break any record you care to give him. He could make 24 jokes about dumplings down a trumpet in 2 minutes.
While tap dancing.
Yeah. I'm not going to let Rusty Lee in, because I think if she has a heart beating in her breast...
And it should have a silver stake rammed through it now.
No, she'll have her own inner turmoil that must be worse than Room 101. I think, I don't believe she can be a happy person for all her laughing.
Can I keep Harris in then?
You can't do that. Are you 8?
You should have said to me before, I'm not going to have Rusty Lee. I would have said, look, there's plenty of others.
Yeah, well, there you go. You only get one go at the person. So, we move on to your most hated book. I want you to remember, before you say the name of this book, what happened to you when you were reading that poetry and that bloke came up onto the stage, dragged you down and started giving you good kicking.
Why, are you going to do this, Jerry?
Because this is my favourite book.
I know this.
How did you know it was?
Someone told me just before we started recording. And I didn't. That isn't the reason I chose it.
All right.
The reason I chose it is because I do generally just hate this book. And also there's a bit of a link, because this is Room 101, of course, from 1984.
Yeah.
And it's by George Orwell. It's Keep the Aspidistra Flying.
And it's also about, isn't it, a poet who got his first book of poetry published really did very much after that.
Yeah.
See, Mark?
I forgot about
that. So maybe you just saw a little bit too much of yourself in there. Keep the Aspidistra Flying by George Orwell, yeah.
And not a book that I was forced to read, but I'm not, as opposed to films, when I read a book, I have to finish it, whatever it is, no matter how bad it is. But this book, I worked all the way through, and I do read every night, and I've always read every night all my life, well, from when I could read, obviously.
Mm.
And then this book, it took me a long time to read, because it wasn't a book that I get into. Some books, you get into bed, and you think, God, I can't wait to get some more of this book down me. But this particular book, it was one of those, oh, I really can't be bothered. I just really can't. And it took me about a month, and it just made me so unhappy. Everything about the book, and it was a month of complete unhappiness, reading this and just going, oh no, just despairing all the time. But you can explain about it, because I don't really want to talk about it anymore.
But that's what it's meant to be. It's about a man who does have a tragic, sad, empty life, isn't it?
But can't we have a bit of hope at the end?
No.
Can't we have a bit of hope somewhere? No. Can't that something good happen to him?
No. Orwell wasn't big in hope. It wasn't a big hope. I'm not going to let it in, and it's just a purely personal thing. What was your book of poetry called, Faber and Faber?
It wasn't a book.
I had
one poem in a book of poetry. It's an anthology. I didn't do the whole book.
So, in other words, what we're coming down to is, this is a book about a man who feels that he's failed in life and has a sad, shallow, empty life because he's only got one book of poetry published.
No,
and
not
you,
about that.
Who was reading it, have only ever got one poem published.
No,
thank
that
you.
Isn't the reason.
No, I don't want to hear any more.
Can we have
more
The Joy
music?
Of Loving by the Jamesons in there?
Hey, Mom and Dad, I'm writing this letter to say everything's fine, couldn't be better. And by the way, Mom, I've got me again. Dear Mom and Dad, I can't describe you, though an angel is nothing, nothing besides.
I'm saying nothing. You brought it in. We didn't even have the record in the place. The BBC didn't own this record, and you do. What is it, first of all?
It's called Dear Mum and Dad by a man called Jackie Lee Cochran.
Right.
And we're going back to the rockabilly times now, because when, you know, when you're young and you always try and pick something a bit left field to like, so other people won't like it, and as soon as other people like it, you hate it. Well, when I was a rockabilly, one of my favourite artists was this man, Jackie Lee Cochran, and I've, in fact, got his autograph tattooed on my arm.
Yeah.
And because he released, in the 50s, released four or five records, all of which absolutely fantastic. And then a few years later on, when I say a few years later on, obviously about 25 years later on, they released a compilation of all the singles, and they put on this one unreleased track called Dear Mum and Dad, which is the one you just heard, which is an incredibly bad record. And it was one of those things that you thought, shall I have this tattoo removed now in case anyone else ever hears this record? No one else ever has until now. And as it's on Radio 5, no one else ever has.
It's like finding out that James Brown released Hello Murder,
yeah.
Hello Father.
But that's the thing I thought.
Here I am at.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the things I was thinking, that you can't really hate a record unless it's by someone that you admire completely.
I'm not going to let it in, because I think it's more about the fact that you've got the tattoo on your arm. And
oh, it's as much the fact that it spoiled a part of my life.
Yeah, and a part of your arm, more to the point. I've actually got George Orwell's tattoo, autograph tattooed on my arm. So, at the end of that, what we come down to is the fact that you have got into Room 101, Time Warp, No Entry, that's by Shem 69, Spirit in the Sky by Doctor and the Medics, and the programme Gets Stuck. But, can we have one more listen to The Last Door to see if we can identify who it was?
True love, true.
Tell you who sang that.
Let me guess.
Go on.
Just because I think it probably was recorded quite a while back, so is it George Best?
No. I'm going to say the name of this person as the last words of this programme. Room 101 was presented by me, Nick Hancock. It starred Sporting Heroes singing in Room 101, and guest Mark Clemar. The producer was Lissa Evans. Harvey Smith!